I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in on the drive, my name is Carrington. To the right, it is Sports Machine Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Brandon Kiley. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will take a trip around the NFL. Coming up at 4:30, we'll get back into the Chiefs and Patriots. We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes and how he has elevated his game to the next level. So, Le'Veon Bell, he got in trouble for bowling over the weekend. If you could be better at bowling, darts, or billiards, which one would you pick?
I don't know if I can be any better at bowling.
Well, really? You don't do it for a living, so I assume that you can improve.
For a while, like, I bowled. Well, I don't know why I'm admitting this, but in college at KU, I took bowling class twice. And at one point, I had my average close to a 200. No, you're allowed to take it twice. I took bowling twice, took basketball twice.
You got
what are my choices?
For it?
Yeah.
We had that in my class, too. We had our we had fitness walking. I took fitness walking my two classes.
Really?
My physical education class. And hey, it's all you had to do was show up on time, and you had to fill out a journal, and you had to walk for an hour. That was all you had to do.
Fitness walking.
Man, I need these classes at Mizzou.
Is that speed walking or is it different?
No, we would like kind of build up stamina. So we would get there. We met each other. We had to walk 15 minutes. We did that for 2 weeks. Then the next week we had to walk for 20 minutes. And then we had to walk for 30. And then we had to keep a journal that we walked an hour over the course of the week.
That's not a class.
By the way,
Le'Veon
Bell said that he bowled a career high 251 on Saturday.
It's called being a human being. Like you walked and got credit?
I'm just telling you what I did. I'm just telling you what the class was.
That's impressive. No, Julian Wright was in my bowling class, and Julian Wright was a really good bowler back then.
When you say you can't be any better, like, are you out here bowling 260?
Not now, no. But for a while, I would honestly probably average in the – if I didn't get to 200, I was disappointed in myself. You don't want to be too good at bowling, though. I feel like that's one of those things, like, you should probably be good on a recreational level, but once you become the guy that goes to the bowling alley with your own ball and your own shoes, then, like – you might be taking a little bit too far unless you're getting paid for it.
It's almost like wearing an axe.
Yeah, I mean, I just know a lot of people that bowls. My dad bowls a lot, so I just was around it a lot. Believe me, there's nothing wrong about being good at bowling. I'd much rather be good at pool if I could pick out of those things. Like, I don't really enjoy bowling. That's not an activity that I would frequent. But being good at pool, I think it would be pretty cool. Like, to show up at the bar on a Friday night and just dominate everybody in pool, I think would be a very fun activity.
Darts, to me, and I know this is going to be a popular opinion, is only fun drunk. Like, bowling is perfectly fun sober. Same thing with billiards. I got to be drunk to enjoy just throwing a dart at a board.
Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes. We'll also take a trip around the National Football League. But first, BK, hit it.
There's a dispute and we need you to settle it. It's the people's court.
I want to settle an age-old debate. Was Sunday more about the Chiefs' defense and their improvement or the Patriots' offense? I will take the side of the Patriots offense because there's nothing I enjoy more than being Buzz Killington. I'm thinking about getting shirts printed. You seem to be all on board with the Chiefs defense, your new BFF Frank Clark. You told me that you were getting a Bashaud Breeland jersey. You said that was your guy. You will be playing the Chiefs defense in today in People's Court.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Your Honor. It is more about the Chiefs defense than it was the Patriots offense. Now, the Patriots offense is getting old, and Tom Brady seems to be disintegrating right in front of our eyes. But look at the sample size. It's been not just a game or a couple of games or a month. We're talking about, Your Honor, a two-month-plus sample size where the Chiefs defense has been really, really good. And if you save the run defense, which is easy to do, the pass defense has been the biggest strength of this football team. And the most important and crucial thing that I saw on Sunday specifically versus New England was that the big players, the blue chip guys, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, Frank Clark stepped up. But Your Honor, it wasn't just those guys. We heard K-Pass's name, we heard Derek Nnadi's name, and the guy who made the play of the game, the play of the season for the Chiefs so far, Bashaud Breeland. So while I respect New England and what they've done, at this point, it's not about their offense or lack thereof. It's more about the Chiefs defense and what they've become.
I would like to present the case that the performance that we saw on Sunday had very little to do with the Kansas City Chiefs defense and everything to do about where we sit with the New England Patriots. I want to present a couple of stats to you guys to maybe sway you and get you on my side of the argument. Tom Brady, the quarterback, right? He's supposed to be the greatest quarterback of all time. We've seen him do some improbable things, like a 28-3 comeback. We've seen him throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, very similar to what we saw Patrick Mahomes do last season, right? When we've seen Brady at his best, he's been the best quarterback of all time. We are now seeing Brady at his worst. Tom Brady is 30th in the NFL in quarterback completion percentage. There are only three quarterbacks in the NFL who have completed a lower percent of their passes than Tom Brady. Andy Dalton, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. We would not be patting the Chiefs on the back if they slowed down those three quarterbacks. It would be expected that you would dominate those quarterbacks. Yards per attempt. I think it is the best stat to indicate how good your quarterback is or how well your quarterback is playing. For example, Patrick Mahomes, is his yards per completion is 8.3. Every time that he drops back to attempt to pass, he gets on average 8.3 yards. If you want to go down to the bottom of the list, and oh, I mean go to the bottom, Tom Brady is 29th in this statistic. The only quarterbacks are worse: Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. Tom Brady, the great Tom Brady, is just averaging 0.4 yards more per pass than Mitch Trubisky, and everybody agrees that Mitch Trubisky stinks. And quarterback rating, he is 22nd this year. So they can't throw the ball. At least the numbers I just showed you means they can't throw the ball. What about rushing the football? I mean, can't they run the ball? Nope, they can't run the ball either. They are 29th in the NFL at running the football. The only teams that are worse than the Patriots at running the ball are the Bears, the Dolphins, and the Jets. Coming up in a couple of weeks, the expectation should be that the Chiefs should shut down the Chicago Bears offense, because they're the Chicago Bears offense. There's no reason for Mitch Trubisky to come out here and light you up defensively, because he's not built like that. I feel the exact same way about the Patriots. We see a team that's not only one-dimensional. We see a team that's no-dimensional with no weapons. The expectation from the beginning should have been that this team was going to go on the road and dominate the Patriots, because seemingly every good team and any capable defense has been able to do so against the New England Patriots.
If we were just judging this game on its own merit, it was just against the Patriots and the Chiefs finally had a good defensive performance, then plaintiff, or are you the defendant in this one?
I'm the defendant.
Whatever the hell you are. I would agree with you. But you have to look at the game before, and the game before that, and the month before that, and clearly this defense has turned a corner, and it's about a culture change, defendant, because last year, why this defense would be described as old and slow and confused and outmatched and poorly coached, this year people will describe this defense as fast and somewhat disciplined, and the facts are, just like we saw against New England, they can beat you. So while last year Patrick Mahomes had to be great and the offense had to score 40 or 50 and they could still lose, the Chiefs have played a handful of games this year where if they put up 17 or 18, they would have won.
No, I 100% agree with you. I just look at this game and this one individual game. I think that the expectation is, I do think that the Chiefs have evolved to the point that we should have the expectation for them to shut down bad offenses. And that's what the Patriots are. They're a bad offense. They don't have dynamic playmakers. They don't have weapons. And I understand that they're the Patriots in name, but they are not the Patriots in game. They had this team played a good offense. They played the Tennessee Titans a few weeks ago, a team whose quarterback's playing really well and a team who's running the football effectively. They didn't look that good against those teams. For the most part, over the last month, we've seen them really shut down bad teams.
This courtroom's all about rehabilitation, right?
Correct.
Trying to make things better for the person. This defense has been better. This time last year, they were allowing 26 points per game. That was 30th. Right now, they're only allowing 21 points per game. Well, that doesn't seem that big, 5 points per game less. That's enough to win you a game or two, maybe a playoff game. If you want yards, they're allowing 41 less yards per game, than they did this time last year. So if this courtroom's truly about rehabilitation and making yourself better, that's exactly what this defense has done.
I don't want to confuse this courtroom and then conflate the arguments. My argument is not that the Chiefs' defense isn't better. The Chiefs' defense is certainly better. I'm saying Sunday's dominant performance, because for a large stretch of the game on Sunday, they looked dominant against the New England Patriots. I don't think it had anything to do with the Chiefs' defense. I think it had everything to do with the Patriots are one of the five worst offenses in the NFL. And if you are a competent defense, which I think the Chiefs have shown, you should be able to stop the New England Patriots. Let's open it up to the people. 913-576-7610. Would you say Sunday was more about the Chiefs' defense or about the Patriots' offense? And we will take a trip around the NFL. All that coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, we just had a People's Court. Was Sunday more about the Chiefs' defense or the Patriots' offense? We asked Therese Paylor that question. We'll play what he had to say before we go to the phone lines.
Not copping out. This is the truth. It's both. You can't, like, we wouldn't be talking about this if the Patriots had Antonio Brown or if they just had, like, a capable third wideout, someone that could consistently, or at least, you know, half the time win on single coverage on deep routes. You know, it would have been they would be a lot tougher to defend. Conversely, you couldn't have done what you did against that group without the defensive scheme change and without the aggressive attitudes of the players and just the improvement on that side of the ball. So, like I always say, a lot of times in football, and I know you guys get tired of hearing it, but it's the truth, based on all the people I talk to, it's never just black and white. It's a really healthy shade of gray. The Chiefs came out with a win, so it's a shade of gray everybody in this city should be happy with right now.
I'm on Therese's side, but for the sake of doing the radio show, I think the People's Court is a very good argument because I do think there's a case to really be made on both sides. Text line 69306, Carrington, I love how you cherry-pick stats to make an argument, but come on, to say that everyone goes on the road and dominates the New England Patriots when they have a 21-game winning streak at home, I'm not saying that everybody dominates the New England Patriots. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this season, every team that you think has a capable defense has dominated the New England Patriots. Like, we can pick and choose arguments, I think, in a lot of different cases. There's not one single argument you can make that the Patriots' offense is good.
No.
Like, not quarterback, not running back. There's not one thing that they do well. Not one single thing. Brady is a bottom eight quarterback in the NFL by every measurable number. If you want to go by yards per carry, so every time they actually try to run the football, they're 30th in the NFL.
Did Sony Michel play?
Barely. Like, they're not good.
I don't think he played in the second half. I'm pretty sure he was out the whole time.
He was invisible.
And that was probably for the best because he's not very effective this year. That I'm with you on the Chiefs defense, but at least give me a little bit of credit. The last week I kept saying the Patriots offense is not one that gives the Chiefs problems, that's not the kind of style of team that really gives them fits. And I think we saw that throughout the course of the game. There was never a time where I was worried about the Patriots. Never a time. There was never a time where I felt like Brady could put a drive together. There was never a time where I felt like they could run the football effectively. Like, normally, as Chiefs fans, you guys know, you're a little bit terrified of the other team's running back. At what point should you have been afraid of Sonny Michel, Rex Burkhead, or James White? Like, they gave you no reason to be afraid of them over the course of the game.
Wasn't that because of the defense? Because we've seen a lot of average running backs. Kerryon Johnson comes to mind that went out there and looked like Walter Payton against the Chiefs this year. I think the defense has improved so much over the last couple of months. Like, I completely understand what you're saying, and you're right. This version of Tom Brady and the Patriots looks nothing like the team that has a mantle full of Super Bowls. They're not good. Even by regular 2019 NFL standards, not by Patriot standards, they're not a very good offense. That being said, in this courtroom, it's guilty or innocent, man. You got to pick. Is the reason why the Chiefs won that game more the Patriots' offense is finally very pedestrian, or the Chiefs' defense is actually pretty good? So, I'm leaning more toward the defense.
Here's a great question from the text line, 69306. Here's a question. You put last year's Chiefs' defense against this year's Patriots' offense, and then what happens? I think what happens is the Patriots score at least 27 points and the Chiefs lose.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think it's that simple. Like, I'm not suggesting that the Patriots' offense is good. They're not. They're bad. But the Chiefs' defense made a bad offense look the way that you would expect a bad offense to look. Last year's Chiefs' defense wasn't capable of that. Last year's Chiefs' defense, it didn't matter who you played. They were going to be bad. They were going to give up 24 to 27 points. And you expected the offense to be able to outscore them and score 30-plus. This year's Chiefs' offense can't do that as often as they did a year ago. But the defense isn't making them do it as often. So I do think Sunday had as much to do with the Chiefs' defense, probably more so than it did with the Patriots' offense.
Really quick, before we go to the phone lines, text line 69306, what about Brady being top six in passing yards? Brady leads the NFL in pass attempts. Think about
that. He's on pace to break the record for most pass attempts in a single season.
Think about the quarterback that we saw on Sunday. He's going to throw more passes in a season than any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Well, and that confirms they've got a worse running back situation than the Chiefs.
100%. No, their running back situation is far worse than the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's not even close. Let's go to the phone line. Chase, you called us to the drive. Go ahead, Chase.
Hey, Carrington. I'm on the Patriots side. I think the Patriots, it seems to me that they're playing as if they still have Gronk. And also the fact that they haven't changed their scheme since then. They're not running the ball as much. And against the Chiefs, who we are terrible covering the running backs out of the backfield, hardly did that at all. So I'm with the Patriots. As much as the Chiefs played really well, it doesn't look, this team hasn't, when they played Houston, who was explosive offense, we looked terrible. So that's where I'm at.
I appreciate the phone call. Let's go back to the phone line. Dennis, our People's Court question is, Sunday's game, would you say it's more about the Chiefs' defense or the Patriots' offense?
Well, guys, I think it's more about the Chiefs' defense. And the reason I say that is because leading up to this game, you guys, I believe, and others have said that the biggest threat to the Chiefs was the New England run game. And I saw the Chiefs dominate with their defensive line for most of that game. I mean, New England was getting 1-2 yards per carry. I saw those guys really bringing it. And I don't know that I've seen these guys bring it like they did against New England the entire season. I think they've really turned the corner with the Chiefs' defense. And I think the proof in the pudding was Breland knocking that ball down on the last play of the Patriots game by reaching over the shoulder. That was a finesse play and a skill play. And I think the entire defense showed power, finesse, and skill in this game.
I appreciate the phone call. That was a good call.
That was a good call. That game definitely set the running game in the NFL back like 10 or 15 years. Between the two teams, there were 13 guys that carried the football. LeSean McCoy, Spencer Ware, Tyreek Hill, Darwin Thompson, Mahomes, and Kelsey, James White, Tom Brady, Rex Burkhead, Brandon Bolden, Julian Edelman, and Sony Michel. Were any of those guys good at all?
No.
I mean, there was a lot of chances for one of those guys to break off a long run to have that, you know, 5.2-yard day. There were a lot of chances. That running game was terrible on both sides on Sunday.
I do think that the caller made a really good point that I 100% agree with. I do think the Chiefs brought it in a way that I don't think we've seen very often. Do you think the Chiefs defense could do that to any other playoff team, what they did on Sunday?
I'm thinking of the other playoff teams.
Baltimore, Houston, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Buffalo.
Pittsburgh, they could. Buffalo, they might.
Maybe. The thing about Pittsburgh and Buffalo is Buffalo can run the football, and Pittsburgh's got a rookie quarterback. Like, each team has their strength. Each team has their weakness. Certainly not Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee'd run all over them. Baltimore would run all over them. No, now that I'm playing it out in my head, probably not. They probably couldn't do that to any other team.
They could do that to Pittsburgh for sure.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh has no weapons anymore. Like, I know they're on this fun little run, but most of that schedule, the same way that we talked about the Patriots early in the season, saying, hey, listen, we got to talk about who they're actually playing. We got to do that same thing with the Steelers right now.
With James Conner? You don't think James Conner hasn't been playing for them.
He's hurt.
But he's going to play this week. So if we're talking about going forward, like, I still think
James Conner's very good. I think that last year was an anomaly.
He's fine. He's a perfectly fine running back. He's no different than what the Chiefs have back there, in my opinion. Like, it's all situational with him. But Juju's been hurt all season. They don't have very good weapons on the outside. That's not a team that scares me at all. I think the Chiefs would absolutely be able to do it against them.
Then we'll have to agree to disagree on that one. I don't think they'd run all over. I like Connor significantly better than any running back on this team.
I agree with that. Hell yeah.
I think LeSean McCoy and James Conner are not that different.
Yeah,
James Conner's averaging 3.5 yards per carry this year. Are we going to pretend like he's been some dominant force? He's not. He's not any good.
I think there's two different things. I think he's better than LeSean McCoy. I don't think James Conner's that good, though.
Based on what? The Steelers have a better offensive line than the Chiefs. They should have a better running game than the Chiefs. He's been the worst of their running backs this year. Based on what?
Last season, mostly. I mean, if you want my
100% argument. And last year, they had the best run-blocking offensive line in all of football. If you put LeSean McCoy behind that, he's going to average probably the same yards per carry that James Conner did.
I do think that Pittsburgh's the only team they could do that to,
I mean,
though.
James Conner had 500 yards out of the backfield last year in a touchdown. He had 12 more touchdowns on the ground and 1,000 yards and averaged 4.5 yards per carry. So
yeah, what's LeSean McCoy averaging this year behind a bad offensive line? It's 4.5 yards per carry.
On like 7 or 8 carries per game. And if he fumbles, he sits out for an entire week. James Conner hasn't played because he's been hurt. Like, you can keep arguing. I just think James Conner is a significantly better running back than anybody the Chiefs have.
I disagree.
That's fine. No, I'm with you. I think that James Conner is a lot better than LeSean McCoy, too. I wouldn't be that worried about James Conner in this game. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't have a good day against the Chiefs because he could. I wouldn't be terrified of him the way I would have been last season.
No, BK's right. Compared to all of those other teams, Pittsburgh is clearly the team.
Their offense stinks. It's terrible. It's significantly worse than anything we saw this week with the Patriots.
And we're comparing it to like Baltimore and Tennessee, and those teams we know can clearly run the football. We've seen it.
I think Pittsburgh is a little bit of smoke and mirrors, but I'll give them a lot of credit for what they're doing with Mike Tomlin. Like, outside of their first three games, which I think a lot of teams lose those first three games, they played at New England, Seattle, and San Francisco their first 3 weeks. Since then, to go 8-2 and be in the playoff picture, you got to give them a lot of credit, especially because they're doing it with a backup quarterback. No James Conner being really productive this season. Juju not having the season that they're having. You got to give Tomlin a lot of credit. But of all the teams they could potentially play in the playoffs, I think you want to play Pittsburgh over all of those teams. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll catch up with Mike Giardi of NFL Network. But first, we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes and how he's taking his game to the next level. We'll do that next. Coming up,
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 30 minutes, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We also have a meanwhile in the news today that is one of the wildest stories you've ever heard in your entire life. I mean this by all seriousness. I've never heard a description of an item the way that this is being described. It's something you'll want to stick around for. And we'll be joined by Mike Giardi of NFL Network coming up in about 10 minutes. But BK, you made an observation about Patrick Mahomes, and even though the numbers might not suggest it, he has taken his game to the next level.
Yeah, I think we're starting to look at him and analyze him the way that we do any other franchise quarterback around the league. Last year was all about the numbers. It was the glitz and the glamour and the MVP and the 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, it was all of that, right? This year it's different. This year it's about do enough to win. I don't care what that is. It could be 200 yards and two touchdowns and a pick. It could be 150 yards through the air and 50 yards on the ground with a rushing touchdown. I don't care what it is this year. We have changed the way that we are watching Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't very good against the Chargers. He wasn't all that great against the Raiders. He was just okay against the Patriots. But he gritted through some injuries just as he has all season. You saw him on the sideline rallying the troops. He did enough to get the win. And ultimately, that's what this season has been about from day one. Get the wins and get yourself to Miami and win that Super Bowl. And so far this year, Patrick Mahomes has been great in that respect. He's been very good at making sure that they do just enough all year long to be able to get the win. That's something that we saw again on Sunday against the Patriots.
No question about it. The thing that I think he's improved the most is his leadership skills, because last year, see, that was pointing out the entire year was about the numbers, right? It was, can he get to 50? Can he get to 5,000? Can he win the league MVP? In a weird, twisted, roundabout way, him having to be out for 2.5 games, kind of a blessing in disguise, because his fans, we don't have to talk about that anymore. We don't have to say, is he going to get to 50 again? Is he going to throw 5,000 or 4,000? Or is he regressing? We don't talk about that stuff, because unlike last year, there's not going to be a full 16-game sample size. That being said, have we seen the best of Patrick Mahomes, and are we going to see the best of Patrick Mahomes this year? Because remember, it took one quarter of one game for him to get his ankle hurt. Then we saw his knee on sideways 2 months ago, and just 48 hours ago, he injured his hand. So we're not going to see the same Patrick Mahomes that we saw last year. I still think that I'd take him over any quarterback in the league.
I think the best thing to happen this season, and ultimately it was going to happen. Like, I'm a firm believer that relationships don't start until your first fight. Like, in the very beginning, it's fun, you're going out, you're eating, you're going on dates, it's just lovey-dovey. That the first true test of your relationship is when you and her or you and him disagree about something, and then you have to work through it. Last year, we saw the honeymoon period with the Chiefs quarterback. There wasn't that much to complain about. Think about it. It cannot go better for your first introduction into a player than it went.
It was all vacation and diamond rings all year long.
He was the best player in the NFL, and you had the best offense in the NFL. And not just the best offense for that individual year. It was one of the five best offenses in the history of the NFL. I think what's happened now is we evaluate Mahomes like a human and just a regular great quarterback. We don't talk about Brady's numbers on a year-to-year basis. We didn't discuss Peyton numbers. We didn't discuss Peyton Manning's numbers on a year-to-year basis in Indianapolis. The expectation was, you're a great quarterback. This is the benchmark of what great quarterbacks do. Great quarterbacks throw for 4,000 yards. Great quarterbacks throw for 30 or more touchdown passes. Great quarterbacks win their division. They win double-digit games. And then we'll see how your team competes in the playoffs. That's how we evaluate Mahomes. Last year, everything was a countdown. Everything was new. Everything was the first. I, honest to God, have no clue how many touchdown passes he has, how many passing yards that he has this year. I don't look at it. I don't follow it the same way. Like, I follow the team much more on a whole. And then is how Patrick Mahomes playing, is that good enough for you to go to the Super Bowl? Is he one of the elite premier quarterbacks in the league that you can say you can win a championship because this player is your quarterback? As long as he remains in that category and you win games like the one you did against the New England Patriots, I don't think it matters on a week-to-week, year-to-year basis what the numbers look like.
21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, averaging 313 yards per game, 3,266 yards on the season. In case others out there didn't know. You keep bringing up great, though, and that's a really easy way to describe Patrick Mahomes. He was the greatest last year. So it's one thing to compare him to others that have played the position or other guys that were Rookie of the Year or MVP. Nobody did what he did last year out the gates. Literally, nobody's had. You could argue that nobody's played the position better, period, than he did last year, and it was his first full crack at NFL defenses. So it wasn't about the numbers or the wins or the eye test. It was about everything combined. So to be fair to us sitting behind the microphone, we kind of had to wait until now to be able to compare Patrick Mahomes to what he was last year, because as this season went along, who else were we supposed to compare him to? There was never a Patrick Mahomes based on what he did last year.
I just think last year that I think, and I think you're an example, I don't mean this in a negative way, is we gave the Chiefs a lot of moral victories and pats on the back last year, no pun intended, because we didn't expect them to be very good. That this year, now that there's the expectation, we treat them like a legitimate Super Bowl contender where every play matters, every game matters, every decision matters. That's how we, that's the play, and that's how you should evaluate this team for the next 15 years. If you're going to have the best player in the NFL and an elite quarterback in the NFL, then we got to treat Patrick Mahomes as such. Is he playing at a level that you can win a Super Bowl? Because think about it. How many quarterbacks in the NFL would you say you can win a championship because that player's your quarterback?
Maybe five or six, but you can't compare what Pat did last year and say, see, he's not as good because he didn't throw 50 touchdowns or 5,000 yards. He may never do that again.
I agree, but I would say this year, though, at quarterback, there's not a quarterback that's going to do that, because I thought from the very beginning of the season, the numbers were just skewed last year.
You did say
that. Like, the numbers were just ballooned last year, that now I think we're seeing the average. I mean, if you're going to tell me that Jameis Winston might have the second most passing yards in the NFL, then this is just a funny kind of year. Think about what the number of touchdown passes are going to be. Right now, Lamar Jackson, who everybody tells me can't throw, leads the NFL in passing touchdowns. He has 28. He's going to have, what, 34 by the time this is over? That's the lead? The lead in touchdown passes is 34. That's what it typically is in the NFL. Last year was just a different kind of year where it was the right player, the right system, the right offense, and the right set of rules to go out there and do it. We don't see 50 every year in the NFL. That typically your great quarterbacks throw around 30 touchdown passes. This year, by the time we're done, we're going to see 7 or 8 quarterbacks throw for 30. We're going to see 7 or 8 quarterbacks throw for 4,000 yards. We're going to see 7 or 8 quarterbacks have where the yards per attempt is 7.5 or higher, and that's where Mahomes is. Mahomes is playing at that kind of level where you can put his numbers up against every great quarterback of his era and then compare it.
I wonder how many people recognize what you just said, that Lamar Jackson's leading the league in touchdown passes, because we see his highlights. We know that he's rushing for 1,000 yards. He's going to be the MVP. Hell, he's my fantasy football quarterback. Go Manute Militia. And I had no idea that he's leading the league in touchdown passes. Although, I think that from the Chiefs' perspective, I love the, I don't know if this is a word, so I'll make it up, the nonchalantness, if you will, of the way that they've handled winning the West. I mean, they won the West. We host a radio show in Kansas City, and we mentioned it one time yesterday. One time. I went back and listened to the show. BK pointed out it was in the third hour. Oh, by the way, the Chiefs won the West for the fourth year in a row. That's one of them good problems. That's a first world problem where you can win the division, and we don't even talk about it during a four-hour sports talk show in Kansas City, because it's not the goal. It was never the goal. It should have never been the goal at the beginning of the year. You told me it was Super Bowl or bust. Clearly, the Chiefs have kept that MO up this entire year, where some people jumped off the bandwagon. Some people thought, oh, Pat's hurt. We can't win a Super Bowl. We can't run the football. Our defense isn't that good. The Chiefs internally always thought this is a Super Bowl or bust type season. Hell, Andy Reid, quote, the goal was never to win the West. The T-shirts that they put on after beating the Patriots said the West is not enough. I love that attitude. It doesn't matter if you say it or I say it or somebody listening thinks it. The Chiefs actually think this season is and still is Super Bowl or bust.
I think it's very simple. Last year was thinking you can win. This year is knowing you can win and going out there and doing it on the field. We saw the Chiefs in a lot of opportunities last year against elite-level competition. They played up against them. They played tough. You didn't win that football game. I think we saw Sunday that it was the maturation of this team of, we're playing the elite, the big boy on the block, the defending champion, the team that ended our dreams. Think about it. Think about how the franchise worked. The franchise, the first episode of the franchise, the Chiefs television show on YouTube, the entire first episode is, what can we do to beat the New England Patriots? And they have been sitting on it and stewing on it, and we all had that game circled that week 14, that was going to be a test to see where the Chiefs are. And they passed that test with flying colors. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City, but let's head to the phone line to catch up with Mike Giardi of NFL Network. Mike, thanks a lot for coming on today. Let's start with the big story of the day. What do you make of this whole Patriots cheating scandal?
At this point, you know, I'm still kind of waiting to see what the video looks like, as I assume based on past history, the league is going to feel like they need to be more transparent and show us what the video has on it. But at this point, I have no reason to disbelieve the Patriots story at this point.
One of the former players for the Chiefs, Jeff Allen, made a really good point that when we take in some players' suspensions, we use their prior actions as a reason for their next suspension, like Vontaze Burfict, for example. The Patriots have repeatedly been in the middle of this. Do you think there's a chance that the NFL maybe makes another example of New England?
I would think that they're not going to get off scot-free here. I mean, I would think that you're probably going to look at the bare minimum of a fine. But like I said, as of right now, from what I know and from the information that I've gathered and some of my colleagues have gathered, you know, I don't think it goes beyond that. But, you know, you never know. Something might pop up when you're down at the owners' meetings and, some other owner says, oh, no, our PR staff said this, or, you know, whatever. So as of right now, what we know, I'm inclined to think it's just going to be probably a fine and move on.
While we're talking about the Patriots, and as a Chiefs fan, we just saw them a couple of days ago, besides history, what else makes them an actual Super Bowl contender this season?
That's an excellent question. Obviously, a lot of faith in the coaching staff been there, done that before. You know, they're looking at these, well, two of these next 3 weeks should be layup games. You know, you got Cincinnati at Cincinnati this weekend. Then you're going to finish the season with Miami at home in week 17. Obviously, the week 16 games against the Bills, and who knows, that may be for the division, but I think they've got an opportunity here to look inward a little bit, try to get some of the younger players or newer players, and Mohamed Sanu and N'Keal Harry, more involved in the offense to give teams a little something to think about. I think the bye would be huge for them. I think the bye is huge for anybody, but I think the bye would be huge for them, considering the state that their offense is in. And I guess I look at the defense and say, you know, obviously not the historical defense of the numbers we're showing through the first 8 weeks of the season, but still a really, really good defense. There's a lot of talented players at all three levels. And I think that, you know, last year, to me, they won a Super Bowl not based on Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. They'd won a Super Bowl based on their defense and their running game. So I think they've become a defensive. I think their calling card is now defense and not Tom Brady. So I think there's, you know, some past history with the defense to say in good moments that they could take away players and if they did. But you're right, there's way more questions than answers than we usually have at this point in the season with the Patriots.
Then at this point, I think it's pretty much everybody considers Baltimore to be the best team in the AFC, the best team in the NFL. They've got the best resume. But do you think the gap between them and the Chiefs, or the gap between those two teams and everybody else in the AFC, is bigger?
Just the way they're playing right now, I think that gap is pretty big. But again, you know, there's three more weeks to play. Injuries obviously play a huge part this time of year. They've been relatively healthy. They've gotten guys back. Does that maintain? Does anything happen to Lamar Jackson? Does anything happen to Mark Ingram? I mean, I know that you could say that for every team, but that team, in that particular two players, is a pretty big deal for them. So that's something you have to monitor going forward. I think if the Chiefs' offense gets right, and there were signs at various points during the game on Sunday that it was trending in the right direction, but if, you know, Mahomes' hand is fine and they start clicking, that offense can put up 35 on anybody. And, you know, then you're in a shootout with Baltimore, and that's, I think Mahomes is a slot like that.
Right now we're talking to Mike Giardi with NFL Network and NFL.com. Mike, so yesterday I made a list of the five teams I think can win the Super Bowl: Kansas City, Baltimore, New Orleans, Seattle, and San Francisco. Would you add any team to the list? Would you take any team off of the list?
Yeah, I would still put the Patriots in there, just because, like you said, maybe past history, but until they're dead, they're not dead in my mind. I feel like Tennessee's probably playing maybe the second-best football in the AFC right now, but it's Ryan Tannehill. I would assume it's going to be a regression to the mean there, unless he's made some sort of deal with the devil. Yeah, that's probably it. I think that's a pretty good list.
You brought up Tennessee as one of the dangerous teams. So Buffalo's going to make the playoffs as the 5 seed in the AFC. Do you have Tennessee being that 6 seed? Because right now Pittsburgh might be as hot as anyone as well.
I just think that Tennessee's a little bit more of a balanced football team. I know Duck Hodges has given them a lift. The Steelers a lifted quarterback. But just, again, I don't know if that's sustainable. at least with Tannehill, there's 6 years of history. Like, he's not a horrible quarterback. He's just playing at an incredibly high level now. Like I said, I think there'll be some sort of a regression there. But even if he regresses to just being a, sort of an average guy, still put him ahead of Hodges. Henry is going to, you know, just the attitude that they're playing with, Henry running the football, pounding teams, Brown is making big plays in the passing game. I think they're a little bit more balanced and a little bit more of a complementary team than I think the Steelers are. I think the Steelers are doing it heavily with defense, and I just, I don't know. I'm not a huge believer that Duck Hodges, or, you know, if they have to make another switch and go back to Rudolph, that that's going to be enough to get it done in the postseason.
Have you had more fun this season? I only ask because being here in Kansas City, we're kind of in a bubble. Have you had more fun this season watching Lamar Jackson and what he does on the football field, what Patrick Mahomes did last year?
Totally different animals, right? I mean, just, you know, been spoiled having been around New England as long as I have to see Brady in some of those ridiculous years, including the 50 touchdown passes in 07, 08. And what Patrick did last year was, obviously, he threw 50 touchdown passes, so he matched that. But he does it in a little bit of a different way because of the arm angles and the, sort of sometimes the gunslinger mentality. So you certainly respect the hell out of that. But we haven't seen something like Lamar at least do this consistently. I know people compare him to Vic, and honestly, he's a better passer than Vic ever was. I never thought Vic was a very accurate guy, and I think that played out for the full length of his career. Phenomenal athlete, obviously. Won games as quarterback, throwing and passing. You know, big game I remember in the snow against Green Bay in the playoffs. But I think kind of what Lamar's doing right now is a little bit unique. We've seen it for little pockets, but I don't think we've seen someone like Kaepernick, you know, had a few years where, or a couple of years there, where it was outstanding. And, you know, he was running and throwing. But he wasn't the same kind of athlete that Lamar is. Lamar breaks somebody's ankles every single week. It's pretty remarkable to watch. Pretty fun.
And that's Mike Giardi with NFL Network. Really appreciate his time. Appreciate him coming on today. This is the kind of dilemma that I'm in when it comes to the Titans and the Steelers. I think those are the two playoff teams that are probably going to get the wild card. And I guess you could throw Houston in there if you really want to. So Tennessee's final three remaining games, they play Houston both times, and they have the Saints at home next week. The Steelers' remaining games, Sunday Night Football against Buffalo, that's a home game, at the Jets. Who knows what Jets team you get, but it is on the road, and they're a pretty tough home team, but they stink on the road. And then at the Ravens. I have no clue what to make of that last game. Baltimore might have everything clinched, so there's no reason to play that last game, so they rest Lamar Jackson because he's got MVP wrapped up, and they already have their playoff seeding wrapped up. I'm going to side with Pittsburgh's schedule because I think it's easier to go 2-1 down the stretch than I think Tennessee's schedule is. But I think Tennessee is better, so it's kind of hard for me to balance. Do I pick the better team, or do I pick the team that has the better schedule and easier path down the stretch?
Well, one of them is going to win the division, Tennessee or Houston. And we assume that other team's going to be a wild card. I mean, we don't know exactly. As you point out, it could be Pittsburgh. It could be, if it's Tennessee, it could be Houston. If it's Houston, it could be Tennessee. As a Chiefs fan, the scary thing to me is the last couple of times you played Tennessee, they beat you. The last time you played Houston, they beat you. Pittsburgh is going with a backup quarterback. The number one wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, has been incredibly underwhelming. James Conner, BK's boy, has been hurt for most of this season. So Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, I think it's talent, doesn't have the same talent or potential as these other teams, and those other teams have beat you. Then again, the flip side is, when it comes to the playoffs, the Chiefs have something for all these teams. I can remember a recent memory, Pittsburgh beating the Chiefs in a playoff game, Tennessee beating the Chiefs in a playoff game. I'd love to give it to either one of those franchises.
So Houston's remaining three games, they play the Titans twice, and their game that's not Tennessee is at Tampa Bay. Who knows what team you're going to get? Who knows what Jameis is going to be? But no Mike Evans. He's out for the rest of the season with the hamstring injury, so we'll see.
Two of the last three games, Texans versus Titans?
Yes.
Well, then that'll decide that.
No, 100%. 100%. That's who's going to decide it. I'm more talking about the wild card. You're right. One of those teams is going to win the division. Can Tennessee grab that sixth wild card spot, or is it going to be Pittsburgh, just given the end of the season? Like, I think they're going to win this week at home against Buffalo. I think they're going to beat the Jets, and I have no clue what to make of that Ravens game at the end of the season. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But first, there's some meanwhile in the news stories I want to share with you guys. Hit it, BK.
Meanwhile in the news.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I've got some good news for you and some potentially upsetting news.
You're a f***ing newsman. Did I ever tell you otherwise? You punched me in the face.
The Drive Witness News.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get back into the top stories of the day. I want to play this story. So we are at ugly Christmas sweater season.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you go out and you buy an ugly sweater and you go to a ball or you go to some kind of party. So it's a very big business, very lucrative business. Walmart, they're in the business of selling these, but Walmart, they're doing something kind of weird. I don't know if you know this or not. Walmart lets third-party sellers sell things on their website. So it's not directly from Walmart or Walmart.com, but right now if you, Sean Levine, had a store, you could sell something on Walmart.com and you give them a little kickback. Well, sometimes when you let third-party sellers sell things, they sell things on your website that maybe you don't condone. It's exactly what happened to Walmart. This audio is courtesy of KMBC.
Walmart is saying sorry this morning. Here's why. It's all because of a Christmas sweater with an apparent drug reference. The sweater featured an image of Santa Claus behind a table with three white lines that look similar to cocaine lines. Below the image is the phrase, "Let it snow." Walmart saying, now in part, these sweaters sold by a third-party seller do not represent our values, have no place on our website. Those sweaters, by the way, guys, have been removed from their marketplace.
So there was a sweater on the Walmart website. It is a picture of Frosty the Snowman, and then there are balls of snow around it.
Snow, right. Yeah,
there are three lines right in front of it, and then it says, "Let it snow." What kind of system do you have that things like this can go on your website, and it has to be caught by the public and not by you? Like, you got to have some better fail safes than I could have told you in 2019 that you could not have on your official Walmart website. Maybe you could put this on the Hot Topic website or the Spencer's website, but the Walmart website cannot have Frosty the Snowman with drug references. That wasn't going to work.
So should I mention that I may or may not have an ugly Christmas sweater featuring Snoop Dogg that mentions having a very sticky Christmas? I'm not saying I own that. Maybe that's in the back of my closet. Maybe. Yeah, first of all, why does Walmart allow you to do this? Aren't they a big enough corporation that they can sell their own crap, that they don't need some guy making up a sweater with drug references to sell it to the people? Why don't they sell their own stuff?
And then part of the description, let me read to you part of the description. So, you know, it has the sweater and then it has like underneath, it has like a little blurb.
Yeah.
It says the best snow comes straight from South America and that Santa really likes to savor the moment when he gets his hands on some grade A quality Colombian snow.
Okay, you took it. They took it two steps
that's
too far.
That's what I'm saying.
They
that's
took
the,
it two steps too far.
That's the description?
First of all, as a guy that's been skiing, and there's no drug reference, I mean actually skiing and snowboarding, Utah has the best snow, even better than Colorado. I don't know about South America's snow.
I don't know nothing about the snow. I try to stay as far away from the snow as humanly possible. So that's the Walmart story. I want to play this one because of the three of us here doing the show, there's one of us that is probably heading down a line of being married. That's Brandon Kiley. So I want to help I want to help my friend have some ideas.
BK gave me this look like, like what? And I gave him a look back like, you know who they're talking about, dog. I ain't talking about me.
I just want to help give you some ideas.
Ain't talking about CDOT.
I had no clue that Inside Edition was still on television. Like, I thought, like, once the Kardashian happened, that all the people that want that kind of content just migrated to E. But Inside Edition still comes on every single day.
Yeah, Deborah Norville. I've been watching her since 1996.
I have no part of me is surprised that you still watch Inside Edition.
Call this marriage proposal a crime. Because it all started with what appeared to be a robbery. Watch this Kentucky couple casually walk down the street when a group of men approaches them. So the pretend officer, aka prankster Tom Mabe, rides up on a bike to break up the tense situation and then subtly hands him some bling.
Sir.
Then these guys sing.
Marry you, marry you.
The video was posted by Prank It Forward and took a month of planning. As the infamous question goes, will you rob me?
You okay? You all-
BK, you get any ideas, my friend?
No, I'm probably not going to go that route.
Impersonating an officer is never a good idea unless it's Halloween or you're a stripper. Under any other circumstances, it's never acceptable to impersonate an officer.
He pretended to get mugged. His idea was, I'm going to get mugged in front of my girlfriend, and then this guy's going to hand me the ring, and instead of getting mugged, I'm actually going to propose.
Okay.
Do we know what she said?
there's some things that I'm fine with you just going the traditional route. I understand that everybody wants their thing to be different, and I understand that everybody wants to be unique. I'm perfectly fine with the...
Bro, just, take her to Loose Park and get down on a knee in front of the bridge.
Just go to a park, get down on one knee, go to a place that you had your first date, go to a place that you guys have a common interest or a common, you know, that you guys had some great times there, some common memories, and get down on one knee.
You sure got this figured out. Now you just need, I don't know, the girl?
I don't have it figured out. I've seen enough movies and I've seen enough proposals in my life that I pretty much know how it's going to go. I don't need to fake a crime and an assault and an armed robbery to ask you to be my wife. I don't need to do that. Let's go to a nice dinner. Let me just slide the ring across. Let me give you a quick 2-minute speech about how I can't live my life without you. And let's just move forward with our day. Don't put the fake toast to my face. Don't out here be wet bandits with the pistol and trying to rob me. And then the guy that's robbing me has the ring to hand to me to give to you. Just too much, man. Just, they've been doing marriage proposals since the cavemen. I mean, ever since they were carrying around sticks, they've been doing marriage proposals. Just go with the traditional way, man.
My sister had a pretty good one. She got proposed to about a month ago, and she said yes. They were playing mini golf, and they divided it three people. So her now fiance was in the group ahead of her, and he put the ring into the hole. Now, he couldn't put it in the 18th hole because we all know what happens. The ball's gone, and then the ring's gone, then you're screwed. So it was on the 17th hole, and my sister knocked her ball in, then pulled it out, and there was a ring in there.
Oh, look
pretty
at that.
Good, right?
Oh,
look pretty at good, that. Right? Pretty good, right?
Let somebody like me find. I'm like, yo, whose is this? I'm putting that in my pocket. I'm going straight down to the pawn shop. And man, we about to eat good. We going to Sizzlers off that ring.
Well, they were the next group right behind them, C-Dot.
I hear what you're saying. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.